We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
What's up?
Happening this afternoon?
Hey, ZB, I would just like to say to you that you made a comment on First Up that I do not agree with.
And I want to hear this. I can't wait.
It rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, and I'd like to get into it if you don't mind starting the show.
Absolutely. Wow. The floor is yours.
You said that chicken strips deserved the third start on merit, and I would like to plead my case that flipping the coin almost with a Barrio situation, his good game is worth the risk of going with chicken strips.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Barrios could go. I don't think chicken strips has the he could have a solid outing and get through five or six. But I think the idea of Barrios being dynamite, and it's ridiculous to say that that's kind of a coin flip, I believe that that's worth it.
Well,
therefore, no chicken strips on game
three. So you took that much issue with my Ross Stripling take? I thought you were going to bring up my Star Wars analogy, which we'll get to in just a moment.
My question is, how concerned would you be? Because that would be game three, and you know you're in one.
That's
now,
it,
right?
Man.
That's
do or die at that
of a
point.
Game seven.
That's right.
And it's Barrios or it's chicken strips?
Listen, it's the perfect name because that's what he is.
Chicken strip?
Chicken fingers at any time is a good meal.
Exactly.
It's not the
them.
Greatest meal. It's not five star. It's not something you're going to get at like a Michelin restaurant in Yorkville or somewhere right. in Manhattan or London or Paris. But it's a good meal. You know what you're getting. Barrios, to your point, it's like a specialized dish that can go really south. Like can
it's caviar.
Really...
It's caviar.
And can really do damage if it's off. But if it's on, mint condition. It's something that can make or break a party.
Yeah.
So you're preferring the gamble of going with Barrios because if he's on, clearly it gives you a better opportunity to win.
If I'm Ross, I just grab the ball and I go up to his locker and say, you know that money that I gave you in the summer or last year? It's for today. And this walk out.
Okay.
Mic drop and walk out.
Yeah. So I think Ross Atkins is going to have a loud voice and a prominent voice in making that call.
Grappler, put up a poll. Hazy B, chicken strips. O-Dog, Barrios. And at the end of the show, we'll see who's right.
Wow.
All right, sure.
Now, what the hell's this Star Wars garbage?
Well, a couple things. One, John Schneider is going to join us in about a half an hour. We will ask John if he feels like they have the roster locked in terms
right.
of a 26-man roster for the wild card round, how he thinks the rotation is going to play out. I doubt he's going to give us an answer on if it's Barrios or Stripling, but we will try to get to that answer.
Right.
So I used a Star Wars analogy this morning, which I understand on sports radio, that's a gamble.
That's it's chicken strips or caviar right there.
A.K.A. loser move.
It can be a loser move because I was talking to Steph and the Grappler and Phil down here a couple of hours ago, and I have to agree with their consensus is if you are not into Star Wars, you think it's the lamest thing ever created. Like, if you are not a fan of Star Wars, you think it's the nerdiest thing that's ever been created.
Star Wars
in your
produced.
Head, it's a secret society.
Like exactly.
It's for nerds that want to bunker down and get involved and put on the helmets and swords and do their thing.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
What do they call the saber?
Yeah, lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
But see, I was into Star Wars early on. They lost me where I couldn't understand, you know, some of the characters that were speaking, those like weird things that
Ewoks.
Right. Ewoks, like it just, I was done with that.
I know an Ewok.
Done with that whole franchise after it got all weird. Like,
yeah.
It got weird.
It got a little bit weird, and then they started going, you know, the 4 through 6 was actually the precursor to Star Wars. Yeah. It was very confusing.
They lost me, and I was done. I haven't.
I agree.
You guys know I'm a movie guy. I haven't seen it since.
Okay, so let me see if this analogy will land with you, Noodles, because I had you banked as someone that would get this analogy. I'm not saying it's overly clever or even humorous, but I think it's an appropriate one.
I need to hear this now.
Naturally, Koliakovo had no idea.
No, he's...
Like, absolutely.
And Korolnik doesn't even know what Star Wars is.
I'm not sure Korolnik really knew either. I think Korolnik was Googling while I was talking, and then Korolnik pretended as if he knew what was going on, but I don't think he did. So we're talking about Luke Wilson.
Yes.
Because they asked about the text chain, and I said, and you can corroborate this, so when I win, which I did last night, crickets.
Silence.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Not a word.
I actually had to send you a text.
Nothing going on.
I sent you a text into our group one with the grappler there.
Right.
Just because I wanted to hear some sort of
feedback.
Nothing.
I'm on fire right now.
Yes.
I am seeing the board like Neo in the Matrix.
Very well.
Late in the Matrix. Not early with Morpheus and, you know, that crew. We're talking late into the whole franchise. I am seeing the board well. So when I catch a win, which I did last night, technically the Niners did, crickets.
Yeah.
No life. And anyway, after that conversation, we got into Luke Wilson. And I said this morning on First Up what I said yesterday on the show. I said, I'm trying to talk Luke out of it.
Right.
Because he's attaching himself to poison with Al's brother and the O-Dog. And what's going to end up happening is he's going to hate football and hate gambling by the end of the year because he's associated with these two and he's in the text chain. So what I said was, as of now, Luke Wilson is a young Anakin Skywalker.
Okay.
You can't say that on sports radio.
And I said, Al's brother.
I'm serious. You cannot say. You know, you of all people. If there was a young kid in there starting that blew that one out there at 8 a.m., you'd pull him aside and say, hey, man, this is kind of like sports stuff. You can't start saying Anaphylaxis Skywalker.
Anakin
or whatever
Skywalker. Even I admit with my own. Like,
dude, it's bad.
Sound check. It's not a good.
Okay, I need to hear this.
It's not a good reference.
You might have lost me with Anakin.
So Anakin Skywalker is who turns into Darth Vader.
Yes, I remember now.
And I said, Al's brother is Palpatine.
Oh my! What?
Who is like the dark Sith Lord or whatever that drags him to the dark side?
I'm surprised they didn't just hang up on him.
I
would have hung
up on him as well. It was, but if you get Star Wars, it's a great reference. Because what I'm suggesting is right now Luke Wilson is just happy to be anywhere, do anything. He's a good guy. Sure, I'll attach my, you know, my wagon to this horse that is Al's brother and Team Al Dog. And what I'm suggesting is by the end of the season, it'll be dark. He'll be in a dark place.
Yeah, it'll be a dark spot.
Because Al's brother and the O-Dog are dark.
Yeah.
Because they will suck you into hating football and hating gambling on football because they lose.
Okay,
and that's what I was trying
to
suggest.
I need to hear this again. It's Anakin and
Anakin
some sort
Skywalker,
of sparse bus.
Palpatine.
Palpatine.
Get a
Holy
picture
smokes.
Of Palpatine, Joe from the Bridge. Post it on Twitter.
I don't know.
And that's Al's brother.
See,
on the dark side.
I've watched a few of those movies. I like to think I'm kind of up with it. I've never heard Palpatine or whatever.
Palpatine?
Yeah, so obviously
but this
I'm
is
long
what
gone.
I would have done with the comparison. You could have said, Noodles will understand this movie. There was a movie, I think it was with Eddie Murphy back in the day, called Trading Places.
Yes.
Yes.
So Luke Wilson is the rich guys before he walked in the studio, and now he teams up with these two. He's going to be the homeless guy in the alley in front of the
in
fire
the Santa
pit.
Suit, stealing the salmon. That's Dan
like
Aykroyd.
That is some. But Palpatine and Anaphylaxis, it's stupid, and it doesn't belong on this network.
Listen, I'm agreeing with you in terms of me doing my own sound check. I get it, sports radio. It's not conducive to it. But if you're into Star Wars.
Yeah,
I think you're shaking your head. You're saying, I get
I think
it. That's
you're
a
looking
great
at
analogy.
A population of people that tune into this show or watch it, listen to it. I think you're looking at a 10% clip that are into Star Wars.
All right, get another poll going, Grappler. Wow. Because Star Wars, everyone knows of Star Wars.
But
that doesn't mean they've seen it, but they've heard of it.
The Grappler and JP, they're like 30 years old, right?
Yes.
Somewhere in that range.
You want to bring the Grappler in as a consensus
like,
for the general public? You think that's
smart?
I'm going
to use him as a sounding board as far as... Star Wars, yes guy or Star Wars, no guy? Like, does it hit the millennials?
We're not
allowed
to use that on the show. Just ask him if he knows yes. who they are.
Oh, yes guy, no guy. It's not allowed.
We're not allowed to use
it. But it's got to be deeper than that. Star Wars, he knows.
Well, he's heard of it, but I mean,
Anakin Skywalker and Palpatine.
Okay. You had to have got a tweet. I'll just jump in. You had to have got five minimum tweets saying, unacceptable for Rick.
I got a couple of people saying that you're trying too hard.
I am by no means a diehard Star Wars fan, but yes, the analogy did land.
Thank you, wow. Grappler. See? There's Grappler, who's your average person.
That sounds like a guy that's been in there for 3 hours trying to talk him into buying into
no.
the tape.
No, I did not mention it
now
at
I'm
any
concerned
point.
Concerned that those guys are like Comic-Con guys, like dress up. Like, I could see JP
possible.
Wearing like a... You know, Luke Skywalker outfit with a sword walking into, like, Scotiabank.
He's in an Ewok. JP, I could see it with his underpants and Ewok gear and a sword running around
JP,
with Al's brother.
Jump on the mic, JP. Yeah. Are you an Ewok guy? Like, are you a Star Wars guy? Because, we are judging a book by its cover here. I'm going around the table. I vote he's a big Star Wars guy.
He's been to Comic-Con. That would be my guess.
All he's in a secret society as an Ewok.
Outside of the Ewok comment, you guys had me pegged from the start. So.
Yes, exactly.
He's been to Comic-Con.
I've been to the Canadian Fan Expo down at MTCC.
Okay. Wow. JP, there's our guy. See,
that's
so
our
JP,
guy.
That's a reference you would have got, right? Palpatine and Anakin Skywalker, is that not an unbelievable
analogy? I was with
Grant,
analogy? I 100% understood that.
There
right
you
off
go.
The
Thank you. All right. So anyway.
Wow. This is, I mean, listen, you're talking to the masses, baby.
Save some chicks for the rest of us.
Comic-Con, man, you'd be surprised. Oh. You'd be surprised.
Actually, yeah. I think
if you got an icebreaker down there, you're in a good place. Because there's a lot of guys that would not have an icebreaker.
What is the icebreaker at Comic-Con? And be like, hey,
probably Palpatine takes.
You like Palpatine?
Are you a Palpatine fan? Hey, can you be my Anakin Skywalker? I'll be your Palpatine.
Something else.
I'll be your Palpatine.
I'm old, so I can't. I don't think I have a leg to stand on when it comes to this, but I'd never heard of Palpatine before. Anakin, I knew. I kind of got the reference in that, but it's just there is a secret society of Star Wars, and you're either in or you're out. Like you either love the movie or you.
Yeah, the whole
never
franchise, the whole thing.
It's
where the four.
Exactly.
Like, George Lucas is. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but he's close.
Oh, yeah, he's a billionaire, for sure.
And Star Wars alone just, you know, put him on the map.
Insane.
All right, we got John Schneider in about 20 minutes, so I will not reference anything to do with Star Wars.
He'll hang up on you.
He will. Like, John Schneider, I think, would take it personally if we tried to reference Star Wars in any capacity with an interview of a manager who's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's actually got stuff to worry about.
He's got stuff to worry about.
Yeah.
They have two completely meaningless baseball games still to play because they have clinched home field.
Yep.
They're playing a team that has nothing else to play for in Baltimore. And I'm curious, like, how you manage the next 2 days. If you're John Schneider, you've partied. You clinched home field last night with a Jays win and a Seattle loss against Detroit.
Right.
So you're in. You know, you're not playing Seattle. You're not playing Tampa the next 2 days. What kind of atmosphere is going on in the clubhouse? Because you need to keep your head on straight. You need to be prepared for Friday when the real stuff starts. You can't take your foot off the gas, but you also need breathers. I think a lot of guys are going to get breaks. I think you get Kikuchi the ball. You get Mitch White the ball. You start
all of it, Hayes.
All of it, right? You get to Pete Walker and say, who in the bullpen do you think needs to throw the ball in the next 2 days? Like, is Romano going to play? Is he going to pitch tonight? Does he pitch tomorrow? To stay fresh for Friday and for the weekend, I'm not sure.
They've got a formula there. They'll have to
have
a formula what Romano is comfortable with. Because you're right, it's all about Friday night and Saturday night and then potentially Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be firing on all cylinders. Throw away games, but it's more about, they don't care about the score of the next couple games. They care about the preparation and whether you need rest or you need a little bit of work.
Right.
That's what you're going to see.
Yeah. But it's a great accomplishment. Like, credit the Jays.
Yep.
Does it meet the expectation of the preseason? Not necessarily, but it's completely irrelevant now.
Yeah.
You're in the playoffs. You've won 91 games as of today, and you have home field in the wild card. You're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's going to be 45,000 fans down there. You don't need it to go to Sunday. A big part of the conversation is Barrios, Stripling, et cetera. But take care of business before you even get there.
Yeah.
And likely an afternoon game on Friday. Again, likely the dome is closed. And I think the dome being closed is actually an advantage if it's a packed house. It's an awful feeling there. Yes, because if you get 45,000 people and it's enclosed, it's so loud.
It's rocking.
Like when we were there for the bat flip game, you know, and I were sitting beside each other.
Best friends sitting beside each other.
Dude, I'm telling you, by the way, I thought back on it. We were there together.
No, you were.
Anyway, continue on.
It's so loud in there.
Yeah.
If it's a packed house and the dome is closed.
I
think that's a big advantage. And I think like it's going to be closed anyway because I think baseball makes that call and they want a controlled environment. I think it's going to be really cold on Friday. They're expecting that. So close the dome, that's fine. But it'll be rocking downtown. At the Rogers Center.
I think that atmosphere will be amazing. This is where, you know, you call it a young team even though there's veterans on that team. Like this is where somebody can write a story for themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about the bat flip. We talk about stuff like that happened in previous years. This is where somebody, I don't know if it's Whitfield, I know he's a veteran guy, but I'm just saying somebody could come out of nowhere and make a big play.
Yeah. I think George Springer is the guy who really comes into focus the most.
Yeah.
This is why you went out and got Springer for this.
Big time.
Like,
game.
This is where he's a World Series MVP. He's a clutch performer, and you know he's leading off every game the rest of the way. Like, there's George Springer setting the tone. And anyway, we'll catch up with John Schneider in about 15 minutes. Jays manager still down in Baltimore. They know they're coming home. Game one of the wild card Friday. The Leafs winning again last night. Preseason scores it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant in terms of the scoreline. But who gets on the sheet can be relevant.
Yep.
And Robertson again last night. He looked good. Like, I thought Nick Robertson looked good, and I thought Matt Murray looked good.
Yep.
I thought Zach Aston-Reese, like the guys who we're talking about in terms of where they're going to find a role and who's going to play where.
Yep.
You know, like, I was thinking about last night watching the game. Matthews and Marner, and they've probably been here for a couple of years, they have reached doesn't matter at all what they do in preseason territory.
Yeah.
Like,
not at all.
Doesn't matter if they touch the puck.
Don't get hurt.
It makes no difference whatsoever.
For them?
Because you know they're still going to be rock stars when the real stuff begins.
All I'm thinking about when I watch them is don't get hurt. Don't get hit by the puck when you're standing 10 feet and it redirects or something. Like, just go and play. Get your timing down. Couple touches here or there. Where it mattered are the people that you just talked about. The guys who are on the bubble who are trying to make the team or trying to make an impression. Matt Murray's made the team, but he's trying to make an impression on a new fan base, on, you know, a story that's followed him the last couple years. He looked good last night.
He watched him closely in Ottawa.
Yep.
Is there one thing you noticed where it would be like, okay, he's a little more sturdy on his feet or positioning? Just one little nugget where you're like, that's a fresh look for him compared to what I've seen the last couple of years in Ottawa.
One word, control. He just looked in control. Whereas I think in Ottawa there were times where, sometimes where Ottawa was giving up a lot of, you know, high quality chances. Now all of a sudden you get stretched too thin. You're trying to do too much. I've watched goaltenders, especially in losing environments. It happened to Devan Dubnyk years ago when Edmonton was a mess. And young kids, it was Taylor Hall and what was it, RNH and those guys. They were all 18, 19, Eberle. And he was getting stretched too thin. He was trying to think too far ahead of plays. Murray, I think, he would get into Ottawa and he's trying to make 10 saves instead of one because I can see this play develop, I can see that. With the Leafs, it's like, hey, this play developing, this is the spot that I got to get to. He just looked in control.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, I don't think that was Montreal's best, but it doesn't matter. Like, he's facing the shots that is thrown at him. It's not his fault.
It's been A-plus in terms of a first impression.
Yep.
Right? I don't know what this is going to mean for the regular season. It has not changed my opinion whatsoever. I'm still skeptical.
Well,
I'm rooting for him. It's a redemption story. They're a good team. They're loaded with talent. And if he plays, he and Samsonov offer up even just a bit below average goaltending, they are going to finish with 105, 110 points. They're an explosive team. They're one of the best teams in the league. And all he can do is take it a day at a time in terms of how he handles the situation. I think speaking with the media, he's a pro.
Right.
The way he played in the preseason, it's looked good. His teammates are talking him up. It's been a seamless transition for him, which is a good scene and a good start for Murray. But ultimately, the story has not even begun to be written yet. It starts next Wednesday.
Right.
Like, that's when it really starts. What does he look like during the regular season? and how does he set you up for success come the playoffs? Because let's not forget, he's got 2 years on his deal.
Yeah.
He's got this year and next at 4.7.
Right, right.
So he's got to give them something this year where even if it turns out to be a scenario where Murray is the backup and Samsonov outperforms him, but Murray's still okay, and it's reasonable to expect that next year he can supply the same production, that's right. Probably doable.
Sure.
But that's the bar.
Right.
Like anything worse than, well, he got outplayed, but he still had an okay season.
No, I think he's got to be real.
It's a disaster.
To go out and get that guy after the team that he was on last year, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him, and for where the Leafs are at, to take that chance to go out and get that guy, I would assume he pretty well be damn good. Like, he's got to be damn good. There's just no other way around it. They took the chance. They knew they could kind of transform it or work with their coach or whatever it is. I mean, as of right now, on this day, it's looking good. He's let in one goal. I butchered it post-game, and I said he hasn't let in a goal because I wasn't watching the third period last night. But he's let in one goal.
Yeah, he's
that's
been
pretty good.
He's very been good. Very good, and that's all you can ask of him. When asked about him before in the offseason when they acquired him, I've seen him play some good minutes for Ottawa. I just never saw enough of him because he had injury and inconsistency issues. Yes, I mean, two terrible starts. There's no getting around him. His starts were poor in Ottawa, translated to 2 wins in 15 and 4 and 15. Mm-hmm. He was a big part of that. Not all on him, but he was a part of that. But down the stretch, when I saw him play good hockey, he's a good goaltender when he plays. It's just, I think he missed the last 26 games of the season last year with, you know, an injury to a neck or upper body, they called it, and it was just like he just went away.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that Aston Reese, too. He's got an edge to him.
He
likes
jam.
Hitting. Yeah, he's got some jam.
He's playing for this team. I mean, you got to think that contract is probably already signed or it's sitting there
3-2,
waiting for him.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, Keefe was pumping his tires after the game. That's a good depth piece.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good depth player, and that's what he's been throughout his career.
I wanted your advice on this because, I mean, everyone's on the Robertson train, including myself.
I thought he looked good again last night.
But just temper expectations, too. Like, that's my thing. I don't think he's an 80-point guy away. But like,
I'm not sure he'll ever be an 80-point guy.
He might be. I think he's got a hell of a shot. If he gets into the top six and gets good looks, he can be a really effective player. But I want him to just go play. Like,
that's his only goal, Jamie, an effective player. Look like you did last night. He looked like an NHL player. And I got to be honest, that was my first time where I looked at him. I'm like, that's an NHL player, as opposed to a young kid trying to find his way out there.
I like the
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I like the way he hunted pucks. I thought he did a good job hunting pucks.
Well, and if he's going to play with quality players, that's got to be a part of his program. Right?
Yes, like, it does.
It helps if you play with Nylander, and Nylander's ripping home pucks the way he did last night.
Right.
You know, even if you're picking up secondary assists, it can, on the game sheet, it can make it look better than it actually was. But I thought he did more than just have a game sheet night.
Nylander's second goal was all him.
Right.
He went and got that puck.
Exactly.
He made a good play to get him the puck, and then Nylander finishes it. But I think he looked really good. But again, I Googled, like, Brendan Perlini had 6 goals in 6 games last year
in the
preseason.
It doesn't mean that he's a lock to play.
Just be
games.
Careful. Like, let's get him on the team. Let's get him feeling good about his game, which he is. And then let's see how it unfolds.
It's getting more difficult by the game.
Right.
And by the performance for the Leafs to explain why he won't make the team if he's not on the
exactly.
team.
Exactly.
Like, that's what he's done.
Yeah.
If it becomes a paper transaction where he is waivers exempt and they don't want to lose Gino Malgin or Adam Gaudette or whoever it is that they don't want to place on waivers, he may be the victim of a paper transaction. But if that happens, they're going to have to explain it that way. They're going to have to come out and, I think, be honest, because I think he's done enough in terms of performances to suggest he should be on the team.
Yeah.
Like, he's looked really good. You have camps. You have competition. You can't talk it up that we want people battling for spots, and then a guy effectively makes the team based on the way he's playing, and you say, well, waivers, you know, or, well, he's still too young.
It's
no one's going to buy that.
No, that means they had their minds made up regardless of their camp.
Right.
I don't think that's the case
here. I think that's a tough message to send to a kid, too, who seems very determined to make the team.
Well, so far, he hasn't done anything to take himself off opening night roster.
No, Robertson, he's looked good. He looked good again last night. Mike Johnson will join us just after 5 o'clock. Johnny was in Montreal calling that game last night. All right, John Schneider will join us. The Jays are not only in, they have clinched home field. They will be at home on Friday night. We still don't know who they're playing, likely Seattle. How close are they to locking in the 26-man roster? Who likely starts game one? What do they do the next 2 days? Well, they still got to play ball games, but effectively they're meaningless. That and more coming up with the Jay Skip. John Schneider will join us next. All right, John Schneider will join us here in a moment. The Jays just beat up on Baltimore and then started pouring, and they had to wait around for half an hour. Eventually it was called. And we'll ask him, like, did they celebrate clinching home field? Because they partied after they won, right? Once they knew they were into the playoffs. But after they won last night and Seattle lost, was there a little shaker back at the hotel lobby bar? Shaker. Just a little get-together. Hey, we're going back to Toronto here.
Can't leave the hotel in Baltimore. That's a rough... Like
Baltimore's a rough town.
They used to have a minor league team down there years ago called the Baltimore Skipjacks. Yeah.
It's a gritty old town, man. Just a port town, too.
Oof.
Port town.
They actually, like, warned us, like, don't act up here, boys. Like, you can get yourself in some trouble here that might not get out of it. So
yeah,
we would literally go back to the hotel after the game. And that was a dump there. I don't know. Maybe
yeah, Baltimore. I was in Baltimore 6-7 years ago. It didn't pop.
Yeah.
Let's say that. It wasn't like you drove through it and you're like, man, this is the place I really want a vacation.
Yeah, you're not vacationing in Baltimore.
Feels like a lobby bar type of night.
For sure.
Doesn't it? Like, I don't know if
you're
fine.
Every night.
All right, here is the manager of the Blue Jays, John Schneider. How you doing, John?
Good, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We were just kind of wondering what the celebration was like last night because you guys officially clinched home field. Do you double down on the champagne? Is it a lobby bar evening? What happened last night?
No, we took it easy. It happened late. We were out of the clubhouse already, but the team group chat was definitely it was the place to be.
So, when you guys do clinch, and you guys have a good time, as a manager, the next day you know your guys might be a bit fuzzy. How do you approach that game?
Same as all of them, really. I mean, I think that, you know, the guys definitely, you know, earned the right to have a great time, and they all did that. We all did that, and I think they're all professional enough to know that there's more games to be played with a lot of significance. So we enjoyed it when we were there, and, the guys came ready to go the next day, and I think their play definitely showed that.
It definitely did. Are you just going to tell them to let it fly every night because they just smashed teams in the face as soon as they lit it up in the locker room? Like, that's got to be something where you got to be thinking, like, green light every night.
Well, we have a young team. They can rebound very well. And, I think that, you know, there was some talk about having that kind of production after every win going forward. We decided against it.
You mentioned the group or the team text chain. Are you on that with the players? Or I've never heard of that. I've heard of the players only. But are you on that with the fellas as well?
Yeah, it's a total group effort. It's the staff. It's all the players.
I love it.
Front office. Yeah. So I'm sure that they have their own, but there's definitely one where everyone put it top to bottom.
So you know they have their own too, John. Like, do you think? Tell me, you sent like a meme out, and then it's just crickets, and you know that the other text chain is flying. You're like, can you believe Schneider just sent that out? Like, how does that work?
I try to not send them out any really important messages out via text. Try to talk as a group, but I'm sure that there's been a few that have been deleted that have been sent to the wrong thread. I'm sure. All in good fun, though. All in good fun.
As it should be. With John Schneider, manager of the Jays. Jays clinching home field for the wild card. They'll be back up at the Rogers Center on Friday. You guys are really rolling. I mean, to put it lightly, it feels like from afar you're playing your best baseball. Do you guys feel like you're peaking at the right time?
I think so. I mean, we're getting great pitching. The at-bats are good up and down the lineup, contributions from everybody. The conversations that are happening in the clubhouse and in the dugout are tremendous. Guys have a very singular focus on trying to, you know, make a deep run We are all thrilled that we're playing at home this weekend and can't wait for that atmosphere. And, yeah, it's nice. It's a very talented group, and we've been very streaky. That's been well documented over the course of the year, a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, right now is a very good brand of baseball we're playing.
How close are you and your staff to figuring out who's going to be on that 26-man roster for the wild card?
We're getting there with each hour. We're figuring some stuff out from both sides, both pitching and position players. And, you know, I know we have up until the day of on Friday. And, you know, just trying to cover all of our bases and cross all of our T's, dot all of our I's, all that kind of stuff with the games we have remaining. And, you know, looking forward to the group that we are going to put together.
How do you get to those decisions, John? There's been a lot of chatter in baseball, and we talk about this stuff all the time. Who makes the decisions? Are you ultimately had the last call? Is it a group meeting with management and yourself and your coaches? Just how do you come to big decisions?
It's a very collective process. You know, everyone's really involved, the whole staff, the whole you know, front office. We have a lot of people that help with all sorts of suggestions, numbers, matchups. And, you know, we're very fortunate to where we have a very close-knit group that kind of ties into all of those things. And conversations happen every day throughout the course of the regular season, so it's not very different than what we're used to. And, you know, it's we're fortunate to have the depth that we have on both sides of the ball as well. So there will be some tough ones. But, you know, at the same time, I think collectively as a group, we're very confident however we land.
You're likely playing Seattle, but that is not locked in yet. Might you change your roster based on who you end up playing?
You could. I mean, I don't think with the way that we're set up, it would fluctuate too much depending on opponent. But again, I think that the depth that we have, it really gives us a lot of options. And you try to just pick out specific scenarios that may come up over the course of a series, depending on opponent. But we are we're pretty much, you know, happy with the way we're going to deploy, no matter who we're going to be playing.
With John Schneider, Jays manager. Jays back home Friday night for the wild card. They've got a game tonight in Baltimore, game 162 tomorrow. Obviously, you're aware of this, John. Everyone on the outside of the club is talking about the three-man rotation for this three-game series. You might not need a third starter. You could win in the first two games, and it's a moot point. We all know Manoah's going and Gausman's going. The third guy, at this point, it's either Barrios or Stripling. Have you made a decision on who will get the ball? And if so, when do you intend on making that clarification?
Well, we're still working through kind of the whole process, I think. We haven't we're going to touch base with the guys shortly in the next day and kind of lay out our thinking and our plan. But again, we have a luxury of having four really good starters. So we're going to kind of make sure we're, you know, thinking through every possible situation and just try to put the guys in the right spot with both, you know, a short picture and a big picture in front of us. So nothing yet set in stone with the way we're lining it up, and we should know within the next 24 hours.
John Schneider, the Jays. In terms of Alek Manoah, the month that he has had, we just asked you about your team peaking at the right time. He just won the AL Pitcher of the Month. He had a .88 ERA for the month of September. You've been around him a long time. Is it possible he's pitching better today than he has at any point in his young career?
I mean, numbers would probably suggest that. He has the very unique ability to compete at a very high level in big situations for a young pitcher. The way that he's responded to workload, the way that he's responded to big moments and big games that matter quite a bit has been outstanding. And, you know, I think that he would probably tell you he's not throwing the ball as well as he could. And then you look up and you see what he's been doing over the last month. And really there have been a couple outings where he's navigated without his best stuff. But, I mean, you cannot argue with what he's been doing, not only the whole year, but down the stretch. He's been one of the best in the game.
Well, in terms of, you know, Whit Merrifield, we've talked about him a lot the last couple of days, really since you guys acquired him at the trade deadline. And it was a tough start for him. It was a difficult transition. At one point, he really wasn't playing every day. In fact, it seemed like he was never on the field. Now it feels like you won't be able to take him off. The last 2 weeks, it's really clicked. What have you seen up close and personal that you think has led to this?
I think having the right attitude coming over, for one, understanding a little bit of a different role than what he's used to over the course of his career, and not taking days off in terms of work. And I think what you're seeing over the past 2 weeks or so is the player that he's always been, the player that we were, you know, knowing we were acquiring at the deadline. And I'm sure it's easier for him getting regular reps. And you're seeing everything from the defensive versatility to the at-bats, power, you know, a handful of home runs. What he can do on the bases is just game-changing. And, you know, we're just, you know, I can't say enough good things about him as a professional, as a teammate, and happy for him that he's really taken, you know, taken hold of this opportunity in front of him.
John, how are you going to handle the next couple of days? Are you going to talk to guys individually? Do you want to play? What kind of rhythm are you looking for? Just how to figure out how to handle. Guys need rest. Guys want to get out there. Guys got a pitch. How do you do that?
Yeah, you talk to them. We've been in communication with them. It's nice to have a little bit of, you know, an open mind to see what's more important, playing, staying sharp, or getting some rest. We have a lot of guys that play every single day, especially around the infield. So it is nice to take a blow if needed. But at the same time, I think you want to keep them sharp going into Friday. So more so from a pitching standpoint, you want to try to make sure you really nail that and line that up from a bullpen standpoint. And the guys are at the point now with the reps and the at-bats they have. They should be good to go Friday, and just being in touch with them and seeing what they need.
How much of how much do you hope to see over the next couple of days in terms of young players leaning on veteran players like Whit Merrifield, obviously like George Springer, who's won a World Series, won an MVP in a World Series. Gausman's been around the block. You got guys in the bullpen who have been around for a while. Is this where the true value of veteran leadership can really pay off in the next 2 or 3 days?
Absolutely. I think this group has been together for quite a while now, our young group, and you throw in the Gausmans, the Chapmans, and the Georges, and, you know, Anthony Bass, Jimmy Garcia. You throw in those guys with that have been around, and it helps. And those conversations have really been happening over the past month. Guys have been leaning on one another, and they really started pulling in the same direction down the stretch. And I'm sure that's going to continue to happen throughout the postseason. So it is it's a very cool blend of guys that have done it, guys that are really talented and are looking to do more of it.
How we've talked about you on the show quite a bit, where there's been times where we'll say you get a little bit spirited in the dugout and maybe have a conversation or a look for the other dugout. How many times have you had to hold yourself back, or is it just pretty much in your nature? That's the way that you like to manage a club.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think that's me. I mean, I'm very passionate about the people that I work with every day. And I think the fact that I've known a lot of these players for a long time through the minor leagues and the last few years here plays a part in it. And, you know, I want the best for the guys in this team. I want the best for the staff in this team. And if that means having a conversation with another group of people, so be it. If it means having a conversation with the group of people that's in the clubhouse, so be it. I think a lot of these guys know me well enough from years past, or even just this year alone. They know I'm passionate. They know that I want nothing more than to win every single night. And, you know, I have no problem letting that be known, however it is.
With John Schneider, Vladdy was quoted as saying recently that he caught up with Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, and they told him, you haven't even experienced Toronto baseball yet till you get to the playoffs. You guys will experience it as of Friday. I believe the Dome will be closed. There'll be almost 50,000 people in there. How much of the first couple innings will be not necessarily survival, but avoiding a deer in the headlights scenario where you realize, okay, yeah, this place is popping, but it's go time. You got to perform.
Yeah, I think everything that we've been through the last couple years, not being able to play there, we are going to be very aware of, you know, how lucky we are to have that back, to have the support of an unbelievable fan base. And it is. I think that's where you rely on veteran guys to, you know, you have the emotions and you have the adrenaline and you still have, you know, a game plan and a job to do. So we are going to enjoy it. I know myself personally, I'm going to try to take in every single moment and every single cheer and every single person in that stadium. And our players are looking forward to doing the same thing. You know, guys that came here from other teams, they came here for this specific reason. Guys that have been through the system and grind in the last few years to get to this point, they've been waiting for that moment. So it's we're going to try to stay ahead of it, and we are going to embrace all of the support that is coming our way.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun for sure on Friday. Good luck tonight, tomorrow. Safe travels home, and good luck as of Friday. Enjoy every second of it. We appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, John.
You bet, guys. Thank you. Can't wait to be home.
You got it. There he is, John Schneider, manager of the Jays. No party, little text chain vibe last night, I guess.
There must be some deletions or sorry, not for you. Like, I can't. Yeah. I wouldn't want any part of that. I would just be like, no.
Text chain mix-up, man, everyone has been a victim of it.
Yeah.
It happens all the time because you have a million text chains. And you're right. If there's one where your manager's on it,
yeah,
and it's, you know, whatever, think about what you could be texting.
Just somebody, you hate somebody. Like, I can't stand that guy. He's a knob.
Anything.
And he's on the chain.
Yeah. It's That's dangerous, tough. Man. It's very dangerous.
Well, I mean,
but they seem to have it all. It seems to be all good, well, man. Like now, that clubhouse is cohesive. They're having a good time.
He said they're the whole organization's on that one because your team services guy, your PR guy would all be on that. Be like, guys, planes at this time, bus, all that. Like that's kind of your organizational one.
Mm-hmm.
But the players, you know, it's like dinner 6 o'clock. You know, like what are we doing?
They got
tonight?
Their own
what,
thing going.
Hey, we got dinner 10 o'clock after the game. You know, we're doing that. He's not on that one.
No, he can't be. And he doesn't want to be on that one.
No, we don't want to
be. Because managers don't want to know. They don't need to know. They don't want to know.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But anyway, that's cool, though. Like, I'm sure they're not alone. I'm sure every team has it. And the Jays, it's a formality the next 2 days. I just saw, actually, the lineup came out. Merrifield, Tapia playing. Vladdy's actually playing first tonight. Marino's going to be behind the plate. Jackie Bradley, Otto Lopez is playing short. Bradley Zimmer, center field. So it's effectively what you would expect early in spring training for a road game.
Yes.
Like a road game early in spring training. That's almost what you're seeing tonight. Because wins, losses, it doesn't matter today and tomorrow. It's all about how setting up the roster and making sure you're ready to go come Friday night.
Right.
So thanks again to John Schneider. Confirm or deny still to come later this afternoon. Mike Johnson will join us in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Mike Johnson, just after 5 o'clock. Confirm or deny later this afternoon. I don't think we're going to get into this Brady Giselle stuff. Like, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
no, it seems like nonsense right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not going in the best direction in terms of their matrimony. But at the same time, that's what comes with being public figures. And Tom Brady, he's married to the game of football, man. He's playing football. He is not going to stop playing football. And it felt like this was coming, and who knows, you know, how it's going to unravel, where it takes us. But, man. Like the Tom Brady content,
dude,
is
it just
everlasting?
But I want to ask you one question, Hayes. Do you believe that if this is true, okay, because the New York Post is a pretty credible source, like writing these types of stories, that if it is true that they're filing for divorce, it's because he came back and played football this year? Would you say that would be the main reason?
Obviously, we'll never have that answer, but I think it would be a primary reason. Yes.
Yeah.
I think a primary reason, he retired, he was out, he said all the right things, family time, and then all of a sudden, like 6 weeks later, he's like, I can't do it, I got to go play.
Yeah.
I have to play football. And like I think it's going to be very difficult. Like every athlete is wired differently, clearly. Some guys never want to play. They just play because they're talented and they get paid, so they keep playing. They can't wait to retire. Yeah. Some are forced to retire. Others, like Brady, he could keep playing for the next 4 or 5 years if he wanted to. Teams will give him
an
opportunity. Absolutely. Like, he could remain in the league for a long time. And ultimately, it's going to be his call. And he's made it clear right now, like, he just can't separate from the game.
He's going into the booth.
Exactly. But
5 seconds later.
But even that, like, again, who knows what's going on with him and Giselle? Who knows?
Right.
It's their personal life. It's very public. Details will come out. If it gets nasty, then it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
But I could see putting my feet into her shoes or anyone's shoes that is associated with a guy like Tom Brady, where you might think, can you just take a breather for a few years, right? Like, you just played for 23 years, and then the second you retire, guess what you have to do when you call games? Fly around North America
more
and go to football games.
Yeah, but
like, it's not a break.
No, but they talk about, like, and again, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but pro athletes, when they retire, like, the divorce rate is very high because you're not used to actually being around your partner, and all of a sudden you're staring at them 24 hours a day. You're like, where the hell have you been? Like, that's... There's a lot of different factors that go into
there
it.
There definitely can be.
Like, there is also a lot of different stories, Noodles, where guys retire and they think they're home with the hubby and home with the wife, and they go to the gym a week after retiring, and there's a letter on the fridge, smell you later, I'm out of here, I'm not living with this dork, non-professional athlete, loser, no money coming in, I'm out. I've seen it. Well, I've seen my own teammates.
We could tell story after story, but you don't want to speak out of turn. And it is. You're right. It's private business that is very public because of their platform.
That's the nature
of popularity in life.
Yeah,
right?
Tom Brady and Giselle. It's going to be Page Six, man. It's going to be TMZ, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson will join us. Confirm or deny, still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 in on TSN 4.